been working through a series on God in our everything. And if you were here for the first week, a couple of weeks ago, you remember we introduced the concept of a rule of life. Something where we intentionally think of a different aspects of our life, different areas of our life, and think about what practices we can adopt or should adopt to help foster health in those different areas. And we are continuing through that series. If you weren't here for that first week, I apologize. We had some technical difficulty and it didn't get recorded. And so I'm going to try and re-record something close to what I talked about that morning, so that we can go back to it on our website and hear all the series together. So you can watch for that hopefully later this week. But last week we then talked about our relationship with God and how we prioritize things in our relationship to connect with God. The four areas of life were the relationships, the connections that we looked at. We see them broken in Genesis chapter 3 because of our sin. It's our relationship with God, our relationship really with ourself, our own well-being, our relationship with others, and then our relationship with the world around us. And so last week we talked about our relationship with God. This week we're looking at the idea of restoration. How do we be healthy in ourselves as we relate to ourselves? And the first time, I remember one of the first times I ever heard somebody talk about this in a way that was really compelling. He told a story. The pastor, he was probably early 30s and very, very accomplished in his task. Always working, always going, always making sure he was getting ahead and some self there. But somehow he found himself at a silence, a solitude retreat for a weekend, which was totally against his nature of go, 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 go. And he found himself at this retreat, and first thing they had to do was put away all of their cell phones and electronics, which was hard enough for him to do. And then they had to come in a room and they just had to sit quietly. No sounds, no noise. No, nothing to watch, nothing to read, just sit in quiet. And he struggled with it. But as he leaned into it more and more, he started to be able to sit quietly, and his mind stopped racing at the millions of things he should be doing, he thought. And then he started to feel really bad pain in his back. And he couldn't figure out what it was, and it was so bad that he actually he made an appointment to meet with his doctor as soon as he was finished this weekend. And he went to the doctor, and his doctor said, "You have a herniated disc. And based on what I see, you've had it for a really long time. Like, how did you not feel it?" He said, "Well, I've never stopped before." And the doctor looked at him, and they figured stuff out. But basically, he was go, go, go so hard that he had so much adrenaline all the time, or coffee or other things that he was putting into his body just keep himself going, that it was blocking the pain receptors. He had a herniated disc, but he was so addicted to going, he'd never stop long enough to actually feel the pain he had in his body. He needed that rest. He needed far more than just that rest. I know. For me, I can usually start to tell when I need rest. I've learned some telltale signs of when I need to stop. One of those signs, I woke up to it, it was probably about 17 years ago. I was living in London, Ontario, working at a church down there. It was just me and my cat, Othello. Othello was about 30 pounds, big black cat. And I had taken Othello with me when I moved out. He was pretty awesome, but one day I was going to feed Othello, and I put his food down, and then I got some water and I went to put it down, and Othello was a very, very friendly cat. He loved to just rub up against your leg, just very, very affectionate cat. And so I'm about to put down his water and he rubbed my arm, spilled some water on a tile floor. And I went, "What are you doing?" And I hit the cat, and the 30-pound cat launched like 5 feet and went and ran and hid under my bed, and I just stopped. And what was that? Like, where did that come from in me that I just did that to a cat that wasn't doing anything wrong, and just water on a tile floor? Like, my reaction did not match anywhere close to what was going on. And I sort of had to pause and say, okay, wait, this wasn't the cat's fault. What's going on in me that leads to this? My reaction to things is one of the ways that I start to tell that there's something going on in me that I need to be aware of. And thankfully, I don't hit my family, but they are the ones who get the brunt of the quick reactions because they're the ones who are there. And I need to be aware of how am I responding to things. Another way for me, telltale sign that I need to get rest is when I start to get run down, I actually start to sneeze, believe it or not. We jokingly call it sleepy sneezes, but it's not just tiredness. I get more susceptible to allergens, and I will actually start to feel physical symptoms if I'm getting run down. So my question, just curious for me, what are some symptoms that you've noticed in yourself that say, okay, these are signs that I need a break. I need to restore you. Get crabby. Oh, good, I'm not the only one. Cry easily. Yeah? What was that? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We have in common, some of us have different kinds of symptoms. Some of us, it might be a certain pain that starts to... we're going to take some time and look in Mark chapter 6 for a little bit. Because Mark chapter 6, there's lots that happens first. And we're going to look at an invitation Jesus gives, but just the context, first of all. It's in the synagogue. And this is in his hometown. And basically, he's rejected by those in his hometown. From there, and when you get to verse 6, Jesus goes around teaching from village to village, and clear instruction says, go out and preach. So they go out and they start preaching, and they start. Jesus gets some news about John the Baptist. John, you guys, he gets some news that his cousin has been arrested and ultimately beheaded. He sends his disciples out, which is great. They're doing work, but he's basically by himself. Then he gets killed by the king. And then the disciples come back, and they're doing some amazing, excited. They aren't grieving the loss of John. They're all excited about what's just happened. They come back, and they start telling Jesus about, and they're on a high. Jesus is fighting the struggles, and there's all kinds of ups and downs. And take to verse 31, in the midst of all of this, Jesus says to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get. Jesus, we just got back from doing all of this healing and doing all of this teaching. But Jesus, John just was beheaded. Don't you need to go see your members who need your help? Come with me by yourselves and get. It's an invitation that where the PowerPoint. There's a presentation on there. Hopefully we'll get it up there. But this is the same Jesus who in Mark chapter 11 said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will. God has always been concerned about us finding space and place for rest and to be restored. Human doings. We're going to explore this invitation to rest today, particularly through something that starts back at the... How many people are familiar with the word Sabbath? Good. Most, but it doesn't actually start in the Ten Commandments when you're reading through Scripture. The first glimpse we get of Sabbath is actually, you get this story of God creating the world, and He tells this story through the cycle of days, and He creates on the first day, and it was good, and the second day, and it was good, and it goes on and on. Verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were complete. He had completed it. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, all the work of creating that he had done. When God tells the story of the power in the world, does God need to rest? There's need, but he chooses to do this. And he chooses to do this. God is giving these 10 commandments to his people. He gives the commandments. He says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. for God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male, or in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh. When you look at this command, I think there's some significant things. There's more words going into this commandment than the next six combined. Focused on how we relate to God, and the last six are primarily related to how we relate to other people. We relate to God and how we relate to other people. Ourselves. How do we treat ourselves in terms of, are we focused on God and just always be looking up in that sense? And this is the only commandment God felt necessary to act out. Wisdom says, okay, this is going to be the hardest thing for them to get. And right this, so they can see that even I can do this. They need to be invited. Israel did take it very, very seriously. For Israel, Sabbath became a complete ceased work. They completely stopped. Because of the emphasis on keeping it holy, Sabbath rule says this much. And we want to make sure we don't break that. And so we're going to set some. And then they didn't want to break those, so they added more rules and became a very. And for Israel, it took intricate planning and they adopted rituals around the seemingly Sabbath for Israel was initiated or at least hinted at. The desert had no food, and then God gave them food in the desert. They were supposed to collect 6 days, and on the last day, they were supposed to collect for how many days? Two. And for them on that day. This is like a glimpse of Sabbath. God is slaves. As laborers of being nothing more than doing machines, saying, this is not just work. You need to rest. You need to stop. And he worked in a 1 year of every seven where they were supposed to not even, the word was to leave the land so they could rest and recover. It's fascinating how strongly he speaks about Sabbath. Stopping, you're not resting. These people are coming through and they want to do trade, and so they're, and you're doing all of this work, you're not resting. For me, Sabbath growing up, we didn't use the word Sabbath, but we talked about some form of Sabbath, and truthfully, for me growing up, it was a lot of rules. It was a whole lot of, except for Swiss Chalet. We were allowed that. Especially not play. I had friends who had swimming pools in the middle of summer, and that wasn't allowed. Interestingly, though, work and serve church. It was even expected. But it was a series. We honored this day, and truthfully, it gave us a bit of a sense of superiority. Right? That was what it was like when I grew up. It was a based thing. But then you get to Jesus. Interesting things. At the beginning of Mark, and he walks up and he decides that he does this several times. He healed people on the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 2, along they start picking up heads of the grain, and they start breaking it up, and they start, the people see him, the Pharisees see them, and they look at Jesus, and they start attacking him. Because have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, rules. And he also gave some to his companions. Jesus says this, he says, the Sabbath for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. This not something that we are to follow with rules. And Jesus intentionally goes to Sabbath in pursuit of the gifts of Sabbath. He heals some, he waits until the Pharisees are there and says, take up your mat. Oh, wait. Violation of one of the rules of the Sabbath. Because you weren't supposed to carry things. And you weren't supposed to walk a certain distance. Jesus' intention was a gift. It was made for people, not people for Sabbath. Gift of rest. He wants us to. He modeled it in how he made the world. He made it the most lengthy of his commandments. But when we do emotionally healthy spirituality, one of the pictures that is used, you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything, all you can do is sit and rest day a week off from work. How many? That's your question. 52. 7.5 weeks of God-given snow in a year. If you're willing to accept this gift from God. Some of the elements of Sabbath, just to help us talk about what this could look like. Sabbath means to cease, to abstain, to stop both paid and unpaid work. Some of us tend to fill our days off with lots of other work. Sabbath is this unpaid work, to do what we need to do, to own all of the stuff that keeps us busy and occupied. The second thing that we need, sometimes we stop doing things, but we don't rest because our mind is race list of all the things I need to do once the time is up. But rather than that, we're engaging in the things that actually rejuvenate us. Delight, take time to breathe in. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they had a great. It was somebody who was in need, and they ended up getting an apartment and a whole bunch to set all the furniture up. And she said to me, it was amazing because when they rest, and even just saying the words, she sort of let out this sigh of being in a place that was mine. And not having to see goodness. What are some things that delight you? What are things that make you laugh? What are a Sabbath would be contemplate? Focus on God, His grace, and His revealing Him. So stop, rest, delight, contemplate. Stop, turn off social media or the data on your phone. Put your computer away. Don't watch that are coming at you. What are the things you would need to do to rest? What are the things that feed your soul and leave you refreshed? What moves you? What things do you enjoy? You can just every once of your shoulders are dropped and there's the joy in this moment and then contemplate. What quiet ways is God showing? What ways is God showing that He is still working when you are not? A regular reminder and a commitment to honoring God as God and not enjoying this gift from Him. Why broad issues about why I think Sabbath is so hard? And maybe if you can identify some of these, a God to trust with these. First is an issue of focus. It's interesting. The command says, 6 days you shall labor. That's built into the command. You're supposed to be working bad at all. We are told to work. But I think sometimes in our world, I'll stop working when I'm this age. Well, we have on God's direction for work that we don't see a day of rest as an intra-Protestant work ethic. And this idea, we attach this Christian term, right? But we're so focused on the command to work that we hear. We're afraid of what others will think of us if we don't ask us to. If we don't respond to their needs right away, what fear what others will think? Or we're afraid we might not have our needs met. If not, then it might not come along again. So I need to do this right now. I can't. Some of us, the fear is much deeper than that. Afraid of needing to figure out who we are, if we're not accomplishing this and doing that, that if we stop, we might actually have to think about today, if we don't get something done, then what was the purpose of it? I can't stop because I need to get stuff done. I don't know what my identity is outside. If you take that day of rest, you have successfully honored how I've successfully honored how God has made me to live because I rested today. Sometimes we don't stop because we can't let go of our work and trust others to do it. It won't be the way I want it to be done. Usually when we say it wasn't done right, trust other people. Sometimes we can't let go of control and trust God in this or our employment situation when we take our work and our employment. Is that we just struggle to let go of control and whether it be focusing on the 24/7 news cycle, or if I don't know what's happening in the global news, dropping the ball somehow, the world's going to keep going, whether you're paying attention for a day or not. puts a great announcement on Facebook and I'm not there to see it, it will still be there when you go back. Sometimes we have a hard time letting go of control and trusting God with our family and friends. God with them. Well, I trust myself with Him for that day of rest. This idea of Sabbath, he says this. He says, if you don't take a Sabbath, something is wrong. You've got to quit one day a week and just watch what God is doing. Remember when I first started to explore this, and I was well into pastoral ministry-based thing for me. I was pushed back. And, well, God's a God of love. He doesn't want me just obeying, engage it as a gift. I actually made a commitment to God. Okay, God, for you, and trust that I'm going to trust you with all this other stuff that I need to get done on Sundays. And I was not the regular speaker. And so that was over and above all the other work I had to get done. I had done almost nothing to prepare for my sermon on Sunday. 2-hour time slot in the middle of Saturday when I knew I was going to be able to work on my sermon. Good 10 hours of work to prepare it. And I'm looking and saying, okay, time slot. And I know that 2-hour time slot's not enough. But God, I got stuff. And I was forced into that. Am I really going to trust God with this or not? Very hard for me to not spend my whole day of rest worrying about my sermon. Burlington for that 2-hour stretch. And I cannot explain it other than God honors my together faster than they ever had before. And things got written as well with everything completed. And to this day, I have no idea how it happened other than to say, God, I trusted Him with that. Think about them. Three are in the bulletin insert. The first one, what can you engage in? Thinking about the rule of life. What things could you add into the restore box of your rule of life as a regular? And then the other thing that comes, when you write things in, sometimes things have to come out of boxes in order to make room for restoration. This is not in your bulletin, but I want to talk, I have learned and learned from others about how to honor Sabbath. The first thing, you know, go in the shallow end before you jump in the deep end. Work your way into it. Start with a half, commit to it before God. Actually trust Him with it. Make it a commitment between you and Him. Sabbath is a gift. It doesn't have to be the same day. I am working on Sunday. Sunday is not my Sabbath. For all work. So choose the day that works best for you in your life and your context. One day that works every time. So, juggle it. If like there's once a month where next thing is plan and prepare for it. Plan and prepare for it. If your Sabbath, like if you get a plan so that being with people won't involve a ton of work for you on the Sabbath. For example, if you clean your house before you get to the Sabbath. Prepare the meal in a crock pot. Use compostable dishes so you don't have a pile of dishes to clean up after they leave. Or next day. Just throwing it out there. It refreshes and restores us is actually like cooking. Might be baking. Might be something that actually might actually be the very thing that is life-giving to someone else. Embrace trial and error. Try things. Play with it and see what actually the last thing is. Give yourself grace. Remember, this was made as a gift for you. Grace in the process. This week, I want to invite you to accept to a quiet place and get some rest. Even if it's just starting with 15 minutes just when you are simply being. I'm going to invite the team up. Robinson wrote this in her Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, Gilead. The lead character says, as I was walking up to the church this morning, I passed that row of big oaks by the war memorial. And I thought of another morning, fall a year or two ago, when these trees were dropping acorns thick as hail almost. There was all sorts of thrashing in the leaves, and they were acorns hitting the pavement so hard they just fly past my head. All this in the dark, of course. I remember a slice of moon, no more than that. It was a very clear night or morning, very still, and there was such energy in the things transpiring among those trees, like a storm, like travail. I stood there a little out of range and I thought, it is all still new to me. I've lived my life on the prairie and a line of oak trees can still astonish me. That's really the invitation to rest, is that things that we've seen every day, we can take the step back and let them astonish us, amaze us. We can revel in that and be refreshed through that. Let me invite you to stand while we sing a song that acknowledges that it's not about what we do, it's not about what we get done, it's just about being able to just receive as this gift from God.